This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hey, this is your host Brian Wayne here, and I'm here to let you know, in case you did not know already, that the Cheers to Comics podcast has since evolved. And if you're looking for a new shiny place to get your comic books from, then you need to head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com. It's like cheerstocomics.com, only with a shop in front of it. Shopcheerstocomics.com, and if you use code PODCAST at checkout, you're going to save yourself 10%. And I'm constantly adding new inventory, hot spec books, everything. Any type of book under the sun. As it comes under my radar and it gets added into the inventory, I make it available to you. So remember, head on over to shopcheerstocomics.com and use code PODCAST at checkout and save yourself 10%. A pre-roll time. The Cheers to Comics podcast is proudly sponsored by Inked Marketing Solutions and the Inked Marketing crowdfunded comic for this yay episode. Well, it's going to belong to The Last Night of Twilight. Coming soon from the producer of Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs, Batman Beyond, Static Shock, and the new Batman Superman Adventures. Yes, the man is a legend in animation. Pinky and the Brain, sold right there. The Last Night of Twilight. What happens when you're broke, but your endless war against crime isn't over? The Last Night of Twilight is a story about an everyday superhero. He has no powers, he has no thirst for justice, but now his body is starting to portray him, but he just can't stop. Even a personal injury suit and losing all of his cool stuff won't stop him. His sidekick turning bad? That ain't gonna stop him. His former adversaries returning. Or retiring. Not returning. Retiring. That ain't gonna stop him. But age? Age is a son of a bitch. Age is gonna... might stop him. It might. I don't know. We have a comic book here, people. Like I said, the team behind this... I can't wait to see... Oh, I'm looking at this cover here, man. You got this pretty dark hooded looking figure. And you got like a walker. Like an old man walker. Not a Walker Texas Ranger. Like a tennis ball on the feet type of walker. I love it, man. I love it so much. I'm into it. So head on over to www.twinight.com. That's twiknight.com. And get in on this, man. I got a good feeling. And like I said, Pinky and the Brain. Come on. Come on.
Age of Radio.
Welcome back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wayne, and this is episode 365. The 365th episode of the Cheers to Comics podcast will be a creator corner. And the creator that I cornered on this episode, well, he's coming back for a second time. That means I did good, right? Stephen Prince. You may recognize Stephen Prince from his work on The Amazing. Well, it's not called The Amazing. I call it The Amazing. A lot of other people do too, but it's not in the title. It's called Monster Matador, but it's amazing. He's funded 3 issues now through Kickstarter. You know, he did a little mini series there, Tango of the Matador. And now he's back with another Kickstarter, now live, and you have to get on it right now. Do not procrastinate. It's about halfway through, I believe. He's back with Monster Matador still. Afropocalypse. You heard that right? Afropocalypse. Afropocalypse. It's as fun to say as it is to read. It's a giant 64-page... Oh my God, people, it's so good. He sent me half of it. We talk all about it. He sent me half of it, though, and I was like, well, fuck, I don't want to read 32 pages. I'm going to read it, but I couldn't stop. And then I was glad that he only sent me half. I talk all... It was guys, people, readers. It's more than one reader. I'm excited here, people. You're going to want to back this book, but we talk all about it in detail. I mean, we do an entire, like, hour on one book. It's saying something, so I'm very excited for you to check that out. But first, I have other stuff I'm excited for you to check out, too, and I've been shouting it from the rooftops and beyond lately, because it's the newest affiliate of the Cheers to Comics podcast. And that would be Nerds Forever, 307nerdsforever.com. It is an amazing place to get your comic books. Whether you're in Newcastle, Wyoming or not, Nerds Forever, they deliver, baby. It is just all of the good stuff that you want. In a comic book store with service, it's pricing. There's no fair market value gouging. There's no spec gouging. Yeah, he listens to the podcast. He knows what books are hot. But that's the beautiful thing, you know. If a retailer, you know, they don't up the price on you, you know, like so many other retailers do. Right off the bat, the week the book comes out, fair market value. No, if you actually, as a retailer, knew to purchase the right amount to begin with, you could still meet your nut by, just having enough and selling them, you know, like cover price. But, so few do that. Nerds Forever, they do. And that's what attracts me to them, because I like value in my comic book shopping. I mean, I'm cheap like that. Nerds Forever... They're not far from it. So once again, go to 307nerdsforever.com, 307nerdsforever.com. And while you're there, already getting amazingly priced books, while you're checking out, do not forget, I repeat, do not forget to use code CHEERS at checkout and save yourself an additional 10%. Of already incredibly priced books. That's right, 307nerdsforever.com. Use code CHEERS at checkout and save yourself 10% more. It's friggin' amazing. With no further ado, I'm not gonna stall this anymore, people. Stephen Prince. Right, Stephen Prince, welcome back, man. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I am absolutely fantastic. It's been a hell of a week. But more than anything, I was just kind of talking to you beforehand. I'm coming off the high of reading this book that you just sent me. So I'm pumped as shit, dude. I really am. For the listeners that don't know who Stephen Prince is, shame. But we already did the origin episode. We're not gonna get any of that here, man. We're talking just the meat and potatoes. We're talking about the important stuff here. Not that the origin story is not important, but we don't do repeats on here. So, man, Stephen, I'm so excited to talk about Monster Matador. Let me see if I can... Afropocalypse, I think, is how that would be
pronounced. Afropocalypse, yeah.
Afropocalypse, and...
It's a tongue Jesus twister.
Oh, but, it suits well for the content in this book, for what it is, because it's just fun, man. Everything about this is so fun. But before we get all into this, I mean, I gotta say, for those of you that aren't aware, I mean, maybe tell the people a little bit about Monster Matador, kind of the origin of this one shot you're bringing in.
Sure. So Monster Matador is a It's a post-apocalyptic.
I've been practicing.
I'm usually pretty good. It's a post-apocalyptic kaiju throwdown about a matador who fights monsters to make a better world for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is in a nutshell. We ran Kickstarters starting in June of 2020 for our initial miniseries, Tangle of the Matadors. That was three issues. We wrapped that up in the spring. It was drawn by Fabio Alves, who your listeners might know from his collaborations with Ryland Grant on mm-hmm. Banjax and The Jump. And it's colored by Alex Zieff, who is now the colorist on Source Point Press's Cult of Dracula.
Oh, no and, shit.
Yeah.
Her. All right, cool.
And Puis Calzada is the artist who actually did one of our variant covers for issue two. So I'm discovering all the hot talent, right, on this book.
Look at you.
And they are back with me on our new Kickstarter. It's called Afropocalypse, and it's a 64-page one-shot. It's a done-in-one, so you won't have to wait months to see what happens next. And in this one, the Matador travels to South Africa to join a group of international kaiju killers who have been recruited to fight an ancient evil that has arisen in the South African forest and has basically been turning people and animals into zombies. And the infection threatens, you know, the entire world. And it's basically Predator meets zombies. That's our elevator pitch, our high concept pitch.
Oh, and it so is too, man. Yeah. I mean, and it's not just like, you might recognize bits of Predator here. I mean, there's a part in this where it's almost like almost shot for shot. I know Ryland Grant is, I mean, this is his genre for sure. So I can see him, you know, playing a part in directing this. I mean, without getting too far, I mean, the guy, he's a character in the fucking book.
Yeah, right. So here's the thing about, so there are two characters in the book, Hans and Schrader, who are this German duo of monster killers. And Schrader is basically, what if you had Werner Herzog mixed with Arnold Schwarzenegger? And those characters are actually based on two real life comic creators, Dave Schrader and Christian Horn. And they're the creators of Baby Badass. And it kind of started as a joke between me and Dave. And it just kind of, I just had these characters, Hans and Schrader, the name just kind of rang in my head. And we put them into this book. And then as the book evolved and, you know, I was kind of like, I mean, I love Predator. So I was dropping all these little homages in there. And in Predator in the movie, Shane Black, who is, you know, screenwriter, Lethal Weapon, Last Boy Scout, Iron Man 3, has a role in the film. And they basically they gave him a role in the film because they wanted him on set to do rewrites. And I guess, as the story goes, he didn't want to do rewrites. So they, you know, he got killed off right away. So I thought it would be fun to bring an actual screenwriter into the book as a character.
So awesome.
And being friends with Ryland, if you know anything about Ryland, if you've read his books, action movies are his trade.
Mm. And he's so goddamn good at it, man.
And he's so good at it. And it's funny because I was initially just going to kill him off right away because, and then, you know, you start writing these characters and he was just such a perfect fit in this team, you know?
Yeah, no, he plays a good heel. That's for sure.
Yeah, he plays a heel. And if you've read his if you've read Aberrant, if you've read Banjax, or even Peacekeepers, which is another Kickstarter that he ran, it's tonally in line with how he writes those characters. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun sort of putting words into his mouth, even though they those are words that literally would come out of his mouth usually. So
and I have when he goes on, I mean, well, not yeah. in a sense.
He's a good shit talker.
He's a good shit talker. Oh, he's such a good shit talker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, he takes it. He doesn't. Well, he takes it not as well. But it's ironic because the stuff that's getting thrown at him, it's all stuff that he talks about himself when we talk personally. Like I'm getting his name made fun of. That's not a real name, you know. I mean, like, and how that's thrown into the book. I mean, what was that? Was that you or was that him?
No, that was me. I mean,
that's so awesome.
He makes that joke. And that it kind of like, once I started, when I put him in there, I'm like, well, I've got, because if you've ever seen him on a panel or listened to an interview, it's like part of his shtick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's always making fun of the fact that his name is not a real name.
And so I
that was kind of like he was going to be in the book. That was going to be like the joke, you know, and then, you know, we'd kill him. But it just kind of like it was just so much fun because the minute the character Schrader sort of starts egging him on about that, you know, it's just like the whole thing just kind of, you know. It just kind of wrote itself after that. And they've got a good back and forth going on between them.
Almost every damn near every panel with the Ryland character. It's just true to, I mean, if you know anything about this guy, I mean, nothing is like, oh, he would never say that. No, I mean, that sounds like something he wouldn't say personally, he would write that. You know, I mean, for one of his characters, because he's got that type of, you know, snappy, snarky type of. It's amazing,
what's nice is that I sent him the script, obviously, and said, you know, if you want to rewrite anything, go ahead. But he didn't. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, that's got to feel pretty freaking awesome. Yeah. When you pitched him the original idea, was he initially a character, or was that something that kind of developed along the way?
No, I mean, when I sat down and started writing the script, so we read each other's scripts. We're in a small group, and it just kind of came out as I was writing the script. I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun to put him in there? And I shot him an email and I said, hey, you mind if I do this? And you know, go ahead.
Who wouldn't want to be a character in a comic, man?
And you know, the cool thing, and I think, you know, part of it for him too is because he's worked with Fabio, so he knows Fabio. And he knows how, I mean, Fabio was so good. And when to have yourself drawn in a comic, it's cool. To have yourself drawn by Fabio in a comic, you're basically in the comic, you know what I mean? It's like,
I'm actually one of two lucky people that have been drawn on a comic by Fabio, not in a comic, but on a comic. And
yeah,
I mean,
your cover,
Man, it's surreal. Like, it's an amazing thing. The guy is unlike anything else out there. I mean, he's so amazing in his talents, and he brings people to life. There was not a question like, is that Ryland? No, that's clearly Ryland.
And it's not stiff. You know, a lot of times when people are, you know, when you try to draw too exact, it feels stiff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what I like about his work and those covers that he did for those Kickstarters with you and those other people, is that like your likenesses, it doesn't, like, the characters are fluid. They don't look stiff, you know?
Right.
So it was really nice. So I think part of it with too is like, well, if, you know, Fabio's going to draw me, I know it's going to be like, it's cool. So.
Oh yeah, man. Well, I mean, I don't want to go on and on about the Ryland character in here. As cool as he is, you have a whole slew of amazing killers in here. But I'm gonna go on, you know, none more suave and more confident in his abilities than our monster Matador, man. He really is the main character in this book, and it's. I mean, you didn't write a bunch of background characters. You wrote a bunch of characters in the background that could all easily have their own miniseries.
Yeah, which is the problem, because I'm like, for each one of them, I got to do this spinoff. I got to do that spinoff.
Right, right. Yeah. But it's also testament as to how amazing the Monster Matador really is, because even that, he's still, sorry, Rylan, rises above. he's still the character, you know? Yeah. And it's... like I said, you sent me the first 32 pages of the 64 pages, and you know, my listeners, they know it's hard for me to read things ahead of time because I just want to talk about it. And I was telling you the same thing. You know, I'm glad you ended it right there at that 32 page mark, because Jesus Christ, man, I was telling you beforehand, you know, I wasn't even sure how much of this 32 pages I was going to read, but I just kept sopping it up, man. I couldn't stop, you know. Maybe when there's the next scene change, I'll stop there. No, how could I? Because I mean, first of all, the art just draws you in. I mean, you want to keep using your eyeballs to see what the hell's coming next, but at the same time, the story, like every single scenario leading into the next scenario, it's just it's a lot of fun, man. Yeah, it really is. It's testament to what Monster Matador is. And like, it's brought to a whole nother level with, you know, bringing in these other creators as well. So you sense all different types of, you know, just everything, vibes. Yeah. And it's an amazing, amazing experience. That's what this is, man. This really is a comic experience. It's so much fun.
Thank you. I want to point out too, is for the art, Fabio has brought a whole new style to this book. If you notice it, it's very Bill Sienkiewicz.
Thank you. See, I was trying to, because it's there, but it's not copying, you know. It's not trying to mimic. It's just where am I feeling these techniques from? And that's it, man. Thank you, Sienkiewicz.
And Alex, you know, she learned how to color a whole new way for this book. And it was really cool. I wrote because I knew Fabio was going to be the artist for this one. When I did the original book Tango, he had a different artist that was supposed to do it, and you know, then they it fell through, and then Fabio came up. But this one was written with Fabio in mind, so it's got like a lot of elements. It's kind of a little bit more horror to it, because Fabio really likes that kind of stuff. So he was, and I think that's why he brought in that kind of Sienkiewicz stuff, that this like the splatters and the scratchy lines and the things like that.
Yes, man.
But it's really cool. It's got a lot of atmosphere to it.
Yes, I like that word, atmosphere, for sure. I mean, there's nothing wasted at all. Even when you're not drawing a background, you can't help but look in the background, you know. Like it's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
I don't know, I really this is such a massive I love Monster Matador. I do. But with what you brought to this next chapter in his world, it's so intriguing, man. Like, and I'm gonna say this as a fellow Predator fanatic.
Yeah,
I love me some Predator, man. And I mean, as soon as you see this, you got the giant freaking Gatling gun blasting off into the woods like that, I'm like, it's such a real homage to the things that we love, but at the same time, you know, it's its own thing too, you know. And it's very in the world of Monster Matador, where I mean, this is a situation you could totally see him being recruited for, you know. It's not a in this other universe he comes in. No, I could totally see this happening. And I mean, well, you know what I mean.
But yeah. I mean, for this one, you know, we wanted to kind of open the world up a bit, to kind of give kind of a sense of the bigger picture that's coming and that we're kind of working towards in the book. So you know, now you kind of realize, oh, there's this other world, there's this bigger world now of people who are fighting these monsters, and these kind of like Kalisha, who's the one who recruited them, you know, she's kind of
like the Amanda Waller type of.
Yeah. She's, you know, she kind of like hints at like certain things about people kind of researching this stuff or like bigger answers to things. So there's, you know, there's things that we'll touch upon later on, but it starts to really open up not just the world, but to also like put the Matador now kind of like on the world stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yes, and and part of it too is, you know, I always say with the book, you know, it part of the challenge is that ultimately it's a book about a guy who fights a monster every time, right? So you got to find ways to like, you know, kind of keep it fresh and you know, do some little twists. So, you know, with this one, you know, we kind of did the whole like man on a mission thing, people on a mission thing. And, you know, there's some nice sexual tension between the Matador and Kalisha. Though she's kind of like leading the team, he's kind of used to being the leader. So there's a bit of butting heads in there, you know? So there's a lot going on, which, kind of comes to a head also in the second half that,
I'm glad you touched on that too, because it's not just a bunch of awesome characters in the same mm-hmm. place. The chemistry how they all play into each other. They all every character has their own chemistry with these other characters, and you can mm-hmm. feel it. Like none of it is just bland. It's not just, oh, now they're talking to this person. No, they all talk to each other in different ways. And it really is. It's so well thought out. And I mean, there's in the first 32 pages, there's still a few characters, or at least a couple of characters that I'm looking forward to get to know a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's, this is a tease, man. You tease. but I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. I'm not mad. I'm just upset. Now I have to ask, bias aside, mm-hmm. when you're going through and, you know, you're creating these other characters, the two big German guys,
Hans and Schrader, like Hans and Franz, Hans and Schrader.
Right. Now those were, you said those were created by,
So I created them, but it was
okay. You created them.
Yeah. Okay, but they're kind of like their look and like their general. The Dave Schrader is a co-creator of a book called Baby Badass.
That's right. Gotcha. And, okay.
Dave is also a filmmaker, and he does a lot of comedy stuff, and he's a very funny guy, and it's kind of based on his persona.
Okay. Gotcha. In a bit,
and then. Christian is the co-creator of Baby Badass. He's also a cartoonist, and his middle name is Hans, but he doesn't really tell anyone except on Facebook. He's Christian Hans Horn, so we always kind of laugh about it. But the name just sort of like the Hans and Schrader just popped it into works. My head and I was like, oh, that's kind of funny, and immediately my brain led to Hans and Franz,
mm-hmm.
and at the time that we were talking about it, I happened to be drawing a cover of like a few guys, like special forces guys in a jungle. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be funny if you know, Hans and Schrader were these two big German, you know, guys a la Predator, and you know, the whole Werner Herzog thing. Mm-hmm. Werner Herzog mixed with Schwarzenegger, and from there it just kind of like I just kind of ran with it. So that's where that kind of came from. It's funny where ideas sort of come from. And then I knew I was doing, you know, the next Monster Matador, and I had a very vague idea of what it was going to be, but I thought, okay, let me start with these characters, you know.
Okay.
And I had set up some stuff in Tangle the Matadors where he was, you know, going to go to Africa to fight these things. And I thought, okay, well, how is all this now going to connect? You know, it's part of the fun. I was, okay, now you've got, because we had the Kalisha shooting and the zombie animals and stuff in Tangle the Matadors as a subplot. And now I've got these other two characters in there, and I've got a, you know, the Matador is probably going to go to South Africa to fight these things. And it just grew out of that. And then with the monster itself, it was like one of those things. I had a kind of a vague idea, but I didn't want to do like the typical tropes that you tend to see when you go to Africa, where it's like, you know, a hidden tribe or a hidden temple or something like that, you know? So I started writing, and I was still kind of feeling it out. And then we went into COVID lockdown. And I thought, well, you know, there's zombies, right? And zombies is, it's basically a virus, right? Which is what COVID is. And wouldn't it be interesting to have a story about, well, how do you fight a virus? How do you fight almost like an existential evil, you know, an existential monster? And that's kind of where that, where like the sort of monster came from. So
I love it.
Yeah. So and then all those things, you know, just all kind of put together. And then as I was writing it, cause they're kind of in a, it's the forest, but it's, you know, very, you know, it's very jungle-like and there's all these animals and stuff. Well, you know, I love, like I said, I love Predator. So I thought it would be fun to do some little homages in there, to Predator, but each time, you know, we kind of do a little twist on it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I remember the first draft I did, I didn't do too much in there. And Ryland was the one who's like, dude, if you're going to homage Predator, just, you know, just homage the damn thing. Just like do it, you know, don't you know, walk around it or whatever. So,
sounds like something he'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
obviously he was right, you know, and it was, it's one of those things where you're kind of, you are as a writer, you're like, do I, don't I? And sometimes you just need to hear it from someone else, kind of like, you know, smack you around a bit and, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to have people like Ryland be that person too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. No, man, this is everything about this, this whole slew of characters. So I have to ask, no bias aside, based off of, you know, friends that these may be based off of.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a favorite outside of Monster Matador? One that you just, if there was the next one to get a thing, who would it be?
It's got to be, you know, so okay. So Hansen Trader.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just from the first 32 pages that I gather, I'm like, I want to know everything about these guys. Yeah. These guys look, I mean, Jesus, I want to see Predator 2.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, the first draft I wrote was basically Hans and Trader.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah, because the characters were just like, they, you know, I couldn't stop writing them. You know what I mean?
I love it.
And I remember I sent the script off and I knew like, but I, it's like, again, one of those things where, you know, I knew it was kind of like not in the wrong direction, but I knew I had to like, you know, I had to like pull it back, you know, but I needed to hear it like, right. Because I just love them so much. So I have, there's like probably like 10 or 20 pages like, you know, deleted scenes,
cutting room floor
stuff, you know,
that, oh man,
on the floor with them, because it was like every time I'd write the wall, okay, here's another situation for them. Here's another situation for them.
You know, I honestly could see it though. Cause I mean, you look at these, I mean, the first time you see the whole full page spread of the team, and you know, right off the bat, it's Hans and Trader. I mean, even before Monster Matador, sure, he's in the foreground of it all.
Right,
but
right.
I mean, it's the first things you see, no doubt about it. And I mean, it's rightfully so, because I mean, first of all, Schrader's a goddamn monster. Like, that is just all of a man right there. Yeah. That is Jesus Christ. But that's the character that you want going into the woods or going into the jungle to fight fucking zombie boars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, man. Now, for these other characters, all of them, I mean, they all have their own intrigue. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've only got the first 32 pages. So, I mean, I haven't got to experience all of them quite yet. I mean, some more than others, let's put it that way. But, overall, man, I mean, this is, Jesus Christ. Now you keep saying what you're, you know, this is just kind of the next step for the next step. Are we going to see a Monster Matador ongoing, or are we going to, you know, I mean, I'm fine with anything, whether it's fun one shots, whether it's mini series, but a Monster Matador ongoing at this point, it almost seems like it's time.
You know? I mean, so yeah, there's things happening in the background.
Awesome.
that I can't really talk about, but it's one of the reasons why we haven't gone to a publisher yet.
Okay.
So it's not because of like a lack of anything. It's just there's background stuff that kind of I don't know how much I want to get into it, but
It's totally understandable. There's just logistical stuff.
It's nothing. It's, you know, it's neither here or there. It's just kind of like, it's the business side of it where
right.
I have to, you know, there's some things, potential things. So we have to kind of keep an eye on that and work through that before we can actually, you know, look at something with a publisher because of rights situations and things like that. So,
Absolutely. That's the cool thing is, you know, they're making it, you know, well, there's a lot more publishers out there playing nice as far as with rights and absolutely. All of that good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's, like I said, there's things going on. So it's just a matter of like, hopefully in the next year, we'll, you know, I'll have a sense of what's going gotcha. On. Then we can kind of, but you know, I wanted to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. You know, I've already got like the next two scripts are written.
Oh, awesome, man.
And you know, these are it's weird, like you know, it's almost like instinctual, but when I wrote this, I think I sent you like the first 32 pages, and that like 32 pages, so you figure it's a 32 page issue. That ends that 32 pages, like, you know, it ends exactly like on a cliffhanger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't set out to write them that way, but they just kind of come out that way, but they, you know, they can easily be, broken up into single issues and done as an ongoing. So it's just a matter of what happens with certain things, and I'm not trying to be coy. It's just like,
oh no, I understand, you know, man. I mean, that's just business. There's things you can't say, or you know, it's we all understand that, man. The thing that we need to take from all of this is that you're working to make things happen, and that's the most important thing. Yeah. Because I mean, Kickstarter, the people have spoken. We need more of this. Yeah. I'm gonna say on behalf of anybody that's followed Monster Matador at all, if you've loved Monster Matador, you're gonna experience a different kind of euphoria reading this, man. This is this is just it's so man, I was kind of originally, as the conversation has gone on, I'm starting to realize that I might have been a little I don't want to say misled, but for whatever reason I thought you were working on this with Ryland.
No,
I'm starting to realize when you say starring Ryland Grant and Dave Schrader and Christian Horner, I'm like, they're characters in the book. This is fucking all you, dude.
I'll take all the credit.
As well, you know, goddamn, you should.
I taught Fabio everything he knows.
Well, you know, Fabio wouldn't be drawing Hans and Schrader
Ryland is actually the one who introduced us. So it just happened that Fabio had just finished the jump and was looking for work. And I needed an artist, and it just happened. And it's funny because the jump, he came off of, I think, the second issue, and Fabio was just like, it's a really tough book, you know?
Oh yeah.
It really is. It may not necessarily look like it, but it's a really, really tough book to draw, and it kicked Fabio's ass. And he did Monster Matador right after it. And I think he was just kind of like, it was like almost cathartic for him, because he was just able to like cut loose and kill people, you know? and every day it's like, when do I get to kill Ryland?
<You know>? Oh shit. Oh man.
it's fun. It's fun.
Oh, that's great. And honestly, Ryland kind of felt like a character you were going to kill right off the bat, but then, you know, it's almost like as a reader, you kind of, you get that attachment
like you were kind of explaining as you were writing. I'm like, it's not time yet, you know, or if there is a yet, I don't know.
I don't but, know. You haven't read the second half.
Yeah. Knows? Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. But just, I love the metaphor of Ryland putting him through hell, getting to this book, and then he gets to draw Ryland and fantasize about his his demise through art. Everything about this is absolutely amazing, man. Now, let's see here. You're launching the Kickstarter on the 18th?
The 18th, yeah.
And 30 days, I would imagine?
30 days, yeah. We'll do 30 days. Awesome. Like I said, this is a 64-page one-shot. One of the reasons why we did this is because we started the book, like I said, June of 2020 was our first one. And we released, you know, the three issues within, like, I think a year, you know. So we did like three Kickstarters in 1 year.
Yeah, no, they came out quick.
It's quick. Yeah, I really wanted people, you know, because it's a new property, because I'm relatively new, people don't know me. I really wanted not just to get it out there, but I wanted people to know that, one, we were serious, you know. I wanted to get them to know the character. And so we, you know, we did these at a clip, you know, we had them done. This one it's drawn, it's finished. So, you know, we're ready to go to print. We have, one of the reasons why I did a one shot too, is just, there's so many great Kickstarters right now and there's so many great Kickstarters to fund, you know, over time. And, part of it is, you know, by doing one 64 page issue, we're bringing the cost down for people, only having to sort of, you know, you have to, get one book as opposed to like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 issues, you know?
Yes.
So we want to kind of, I was looking for a way to kind of ease that burden, because I know there's so much great stuff out there right now and we're competing with a lot of great stuff. We have our regular version of the book. We have a, which is, it's $20, 64 page one shot. We have a limited edition. It's only $5 more. It has a Tony Donnelly movie poster cover, and it comes with a signed book plate. It's signed by me. It's signed by Ryland, Dave, Christian, and Tony. So you get 5 signatures.
Oh, badass.
So, I mean, we're really, these are really like designed to just kind of like move, you know what I mean? Like, and then that one will come with a folded 11x17 movie poster also.
Jesus.
Every physical reward comes with a press photo. Fabio did this amazing cast photo that was kind of inspired by the Predator cast photo. And it was colored by his Banjax and the Jump colorist, Edson Ferreira.
Oh, nice.
And it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. You know, you can go to the Kickstarter page, it's on there. And then we have Catch Up Tears.
And, nice, man.
So you can get all 5 issues. Not all 5, sorry, all the one.
Well, the first and three, and then
the first three, I'm sorry, of Tango and the Matadors. And then we have the add-on store if you want variant covers,
hell yeah,
stuff like that. So,
and on it, I'm gonna just go on. If you pass up the opportunity to get caught up with the first three issues of Tango, and you're missing an opportunity for sure, because that's what I did. I got on the Kickstarter, or on the third Kickstarter, but I've got all three issues, and might I say signed as well.
And for the regular book, I sign them if you want them signed. There's no extra no cost for that.
That's so awesome.
Until
man.
I
that's
get so like awesome. 1,000 backers, then I might have
to. Yeah, yeah. You're gonna invest in the Advil fund.
Yeah, yeah. I try to do the little things for people. We'll have stretch goals on this too. We have one stretch goal that'll be it'll be an extended ending. So we're gonna add an extra page.
Nice.
And then and then a pinup from Don Walker, who did Dreadnought the Barbarian.
Okay.
And then a couple other pages that we're going to add some stuff in there. So
that's so awesome.
So it'll be a 68 pager instead of 64.
Jeez.
So, you know, we'll try, yeah.
People don't understand that it's not cheap to be able to do that, to just add a couple extra pages. That's not typically cheap to do. So, I mean, when you say price to move, I mean, you at 25, what not? I know there might be people out there going $25 for an issue. No. Go to Kickstarter and look this is a 64 page issue for one. To Kickstarter and look what a lot of the base tier physical copies are. Yeah. Or even for digital, I've had $20 for the digital, you know, sometimes the base. This is easily the best value Kickstarter is going to be having for the next 30 days. Yeah. Because it's Jesus Christ, man. I mean, these stretch goals need to just fly through. I mean, to get those extra pages. Yeah. I mean, we as consumers would be idiots to let something like that go to waste. I mean, come on, we get a cut scene, because that's what it would be, right? It's like a cut scene. Us nerds love us a cut scene.
We're trying to do something different for the stretch goals, as opposed to like the typical like sticker or something. Wanted to do, since you know everyone loves the books, you know, try to do something for the story or add something into the story. So,
I thought
that might be cool. You know,
do you have a retailer tier? I'm starting to see more and more of that.
I don't, and I've started to see more and more, and I need to figure that out, what that would be.
That would be hard to do because the value is already, it almost feels like a wholesale type of value.
What I usually do is if a retailer backs the book, what I've done kind of quietly, but not, is I will send, and I mean, I'll tell them, obviously I'll reach out, but I will send them extra copies.
Oh, that's cool.
On the house, you know,
see,
for them to sort of try out rather than, because retailers, I think it's an easy way to build and a nice way to build a relationship and be like, here's a few copies.
Yeah.
You don't even have to sell them, you know? And so a lot of times what retailers would do, it's like, oh, this is great. I can actually just give them to someone who I think will like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we've been doing that. So
that's awesome.
That's something we've been doing for retailers. Kind of, it hasn't been, I guess, announced or whatever, but because it's tricky with the retailer trailers, tiers. I don't know how people necessarily react to them. And I also, sometimes I'll see like if the book is a certain amount and then the retailer tier is like you're basically getting them for pennies on the dollar,
right?
or you know what I mean, like which you have to, because retailers, you know, have their costs built in something like that. So it's kind of like I also don't want to, it's tricky finding the right kind of price.
Oh, absolutely,
that sort of thing. Because you don't want people to think like, wait a minute, why am I paying this? And they're just getting like 20 for, you know, for this. So.
No, I understand that completely. Like I said, the retailer thing, I'm just, it's kind of a new thing that I'm seeing.
I don't know how successful it is in terms of how many retailers actually, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look, but it's something I've been seeing more of. Mm-hmm. So it's something I've been looking at. But with this one, because it's a 64 page one shot, it's a bit more, I think, of a challenge to kind of.
I mean, like I said, you're already offering so much of a value, like the profit margins are already, I can imagine, pretty razor thin. I mean, it really does kind of feel like you're more interested in getting this book out than eating next month. So it's
eat, man. Come on.
The hungry write better.
A lot of it. Yeah. We just, you know, like we really want to get it into readers' hands, and, you know, we're looking to pay the print costs and things like that, you know?
Cool, man. So. Well, it's incredibly admirable. And, you know, if there's any retailers out there listening, you know, I did shit. add a couple more into the, you know, well, I forget what they call it. The at the end of Kickstarter, the, I don't know any of the terminologies.
Add-on or backer kit. People do backer kit or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Add-ons, I guess. Add a couple extra. You know, I'm actually, I'm probably going to order an extra one for the website myself, man, now that Cheers to Comics is an official retailer, and I could say that now officially. Stuff like this, it needs to be, it needs to be out there. It really does. Yeah. And this is something that I'm going to champion. I would love to be able to hand somebody a copy, but they're not getting fucking mine. So I guess I'm going to have to order more. I don't know. You've hit it out of the park here, Steven. Really? Seriously. I wouldn't have had you back if I didn't enjoy Monster Matador.
Right.
But I mean, I got the review copy, like, 50 minutes before we chat, as typically I like to cut it as close to the time as possible to read it. But I absolutely blown away, man. This team that you have brought on, with Fabio and Alex, and I honestly, I haven't given Alex enough praise in this. The color in this is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah. She's amazing. And like I said, she's kind of like this hidden gem right now. And one of the great things has been watching her grow as an artist. Fabio is an incredibly challenging artist to color.
Yeah. This looks like it's something that Fabio would have to color himself, to be honest. Like, yeah, if I as a colorist were given these inks, I'm sorry. On to the next guy.
Yeah, I know he sent her a lot of reference, and she really stepped up and just kind of, you know, she did it. She knocked it out of the park. If you check out her other work, Cult of Dracula from Source Point, which it's a great book. It's a really
fun book. Have the entire, I'm a Rich Davis follower from the beginning. I have it back when it was at Second Sight, man. Like, I've got all the variant covers. This is one that I'm like speculating, like, it's going to be big.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize book, this was the same. The same she color started, as Jesus.
I want to think she started with Puis on, I think it was issue 4 maybe or 5.
Yeah.
They just started on it. So.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. No, I've got a Cult of Dracula variant behind me right now. As a matter of fact, I love that, what did they do? The swamp thing variant, the I don't know why, not Tales. What am I? My brain's broken now. But Jesus, now I'm gonna want to go through and read that again because I didn't realize. God damn, man. See, and that's another amazing thing about this is, you know, sometimes things are overlooked and then you really it stands out elsewhere, and geez, you go back and you fall in love with another creator. Yeah. I might have a new favorite colorist as I go through this. I'm not gonna lie. This is next level shit. All of this, Steven, is next level shit, man. The Afropocalypse. Right. Are you kidding me? The Afropocalypse? Oh man. Oh, I love it down in South Africa. I cannot be more excited for a Kickstarter book. I really can't. Like, this is, you have my undying support for the Monster Matador, the universe that you have built. I'm so glad to see that it's not just this self-contained badass. He is in a world of badasses alike, but at the same time, very fucking different. Yeah. And I can't wait to see where this world builds, man. It's been a big tease because it's not what, well, at the same time, it's not, I didn't realize it was going to become this big of a spectacular, you know, really it is. I can't wait to see what publisher is lucky enough to get their little sticker on this book, man, because once you go public with it, if you will, and you make it man, it's going to be successful. There's no doubt about it. It's going to sell out reprints and all of that amazing shit. This is what we want to see in comics. And more than anything is it's new and refreshing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, sure. It's an homage to the things we loved, 30 fucking years ago, but you know, it's, well, it's been 30 years. Let's see it again. Exactly. You know? Let me see it again. God damn it.
It never gets old, man.
No, it's never going to. Yeah. And that's, man, this has really been an absolute pleasure talking about all this. And I mean, I'm just, what I gather out of this entire conversation more than anything is just, there's more to come.
Yep.
And that's what makes me excited. This is, I thought after the first three issues, I mean, no, obviously it sets up more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think we'd get something this big, this quick.
This, yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
But
I really, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I wanted to kind of like make a statement, you know, like,
yeah. You know, well, fuck, so did, I'd you say, know. Yeah. Oh, so. Dude, you're the tall guy in the room. I mean, if you were in a character lineup right now, you'd be like Schrader level. that's what's going on right now, man. You just stand the hell out. Like that's,
yeah.
Oh, and people, I can't wait for you to experience this, listeners. I really can't. This is what we want. It's what we've been wanting. Man, remind people, where they can follow this book and stay updated.
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just type in Monster Matador. That's my handle on all those. MonsterMatador.com. Obviously, we've got the Kickstarter right now, so just search Monster Matador. I'm trying to get the corner on every Monster Matador thing on the internet right now.
Yes. Yes, but trademark yeah, no, but, this shit, man, because oh,
it
it's
is, it is trademark.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Don't worry about it. I got that.
Everybody's going to want to steal it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, maybe. It's like one of those things when I came up with. I mean, I came up with it years ago, you know, and I kind of kept it in my back pocket. I didn't tell anyone because I'm like, wait a minute, how has no one done this? You know.
Sometimes the low hanging fruit is the juiciest, dude.
Right. It's, yeah. It's like it's almost like too obvious, right? So.
Man, so, yeah. But you did it, you nailed it, and yeah, you continue to develop this character into just the most interesting motherfucker in comics. Like he's such a badass.
And there's and I can't I mean there's more to come. Like I said, we actually have a short story that's already done, and like I said, we've got the script for the next one. Just to tease it, the Matador goes back to Mexico. Call it our Once Upon Some Monsters in Mexico trilogy.
Oh, come on. Yeah, no, so, I already see where this is. Oh, yeah, are we, I so mean, are we like talking like Johnny Depp Once Upon a...
It's fun. It's fun. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to get to the next, you know, to really kind of open this world up even more and show people what's next. Cause I think we have some interesting surprises and twists and turns that are coming up. So.
Oh man. And well, all of it. I mean, it's, there's none of it's all a surprise, man. You don't see any of this coming. Like, even if you think you know the fucking script, it's, right, you know, yeah, oh, I've yeah, seen yeah. Predator before. No, you haven't yeah. seen this.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, we just spent damn near an hour talking about one single book. Right. And that's a beautiful thing. Really, Stephen, thank you so much for all of your time, man. I can't wait to have you back again to talk about the next thing in Monster Matador. And you know, that's the thing. I don't often have people come back to talk about the next thing within that universe, but right. this is now, I mean, I don't know what to expect even in the Monster Matador universe. So it's always going to be something new. So you right, always yeah. have a goddamn invitation to come back on this show, man. Right. We could talk about Monster Matador 12 more times.
Thank you.
13. I don't give a shit. I have an unlimited amount of time. This is one of my new favorite characters in comics.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been, you know, I've been able to do signings now. I've done a few signings and it's been really kind of like, cool to see people get so taken with the character when they see it. And when they read it, it's people are always like, oh wow, wait a minute. I really like this guy, you know.
Yeah,
it's nice because sometimes, you know, especially as indie creators, we're kind of like we're in that kind of internet bubble and you don't really, and with, you know, COVID, we haven't been able to get out there and actually you know, get on the ground with people. So it's really, anytime we get feedback, it's been really, nice to hear.
Let's say there's not a whole lot of, Spanish representation in, comics either. I mean, as far as, you know, characters leading stories like that, that's not really, I mean, that's one thing we didn't really touch upon at all is how diverse this cast is, but it's none of it's in your face. Like, we got to make sure, you know, it's diverse. It's just, these are all these amazing characters that just find each other.
And it's like I said, you know, I created this a long time ago, like almost 15 years ago now.
Way before, you know.
Yeah, way before. And one of the reasons why I kept it in my back pocket was like, well, no one was doing anything like this. Mm-hmm. No one would have put a Latino, a Mexican main character in a book. When, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one was stuff like that.
Sure.
And it's funny because I was doing a signing at a store a few weeks ago, and a guy came in and he was like, wait a minute, it's a Latino main character. And he was pointing out, he's like, look at all these DC books, look at all these Marvel books, look at all these books, and like point out another one to me. And that was kind of like, oh wow, like you don't really realize sometimes that there's, you know, there's really needs to be more of this stuff. So
but at the same time, the subtlety of it,
yeah,
you know, it's not going around saying, you know, make sure you know
he's
you...
cool because he's cool, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's not like it's just a cool, I hope people find, you know, it's a great character. You know, we need to start looking past all these things and just like love these things for what they are, which is, you know, which are just awesome. So
he is he's a badass. I mean, to put it in its just most caveman form, he's a fucking badass. And this character will have a cult following even bigger than it is now, man. I'm glad you said that you got to do some signings and experience some of that, from just, you know, besides people just on the other end of the microphone.
How much am I paying you for this, Brian?
Well, we'll discuss that.
Oh, we're still live.
This one's on the house, actually. This one's on the house. I look forward to, you know, I mean, just for your own experience, you know, as these signings and stuff start to open up, you know, you getting to see the accolades and all that from these people. And I really can't wait for this book to, I hate the term mainstream, but to go mainstream, because, you know, Kickstarter it's huge right now, but it's still new, you know, and
there's a barrier. There's definitely a split between the audiences. Absolutely.
Right. Once it's being distributed and it's, you know, on comic book shop shelves and, as patient as I can be, I mean, I look forward to this, that day. I do, because it's, man, this is one of them next big series. It really is. It's, fuck, this universe is awesome.
I'm gonna use that as a pull quote, Brian.
You can have it.
Thank you.
You can have it. No, really. The entire time I've been talking to you, I've been like having to wipe my mouth because I've been watching or scrolling through this art as well, you know, and like revisiting all of this and just there's just so much to pull from this, man. It's you sir are you're on your way, Stephen. Jesus Christ, man. I'm glad I'm catching you early. If I would have caught you 2 years from now, you'd be like, fuck this. Too big for this shit.
never.
Really, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I really do look forward to the next time, man. I can't wait. Let's see, what do we got here as we talk? Just less than a week before the Kickstarter actually launches. This episode probably go up right around the same time. So
okay, cool.
Amazing. I can't wait. This is gonna be I was telling somebody before, every once in a while when I'm really, really excited about a Kickstarter, I watch it probably as much as the people launching the Kickstarter. A tab open on it and going, fucking next stretch goal. You know, I mean, I get just as like, this is going to be one of those, man. It really is. So hell yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to be just as stressed as you are for the next 30 days.
And I will say on the Kickstarter page, even if you don't watch the whole video, watch the trailer at the beginning. We did a trailer.
All right. Hell yeah.
And it's got a cool, I hired someone to do a trailer voice on it, you know?
Nice.
So it's,
oh man, in a world. Oh, I fucking
love it. It's in a world. But
hell yeah.
No, it's great. It's fun. I'm pretty happy with it. So.
All right. Well, Steven, I cannot wait until the next time, man. You stay safe and don't stop doing this. This is amazing. We'll talk soon, brother.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Right on. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'd like to remind you about a book that I've spoken highly of in the past on this show before, and that's Unicorn Vampire Hunter. Kayla Palmquist has been on the show a couple of times now. And my 7-year-old girl, she is a massive fan of Unicorn Vampire Hunter. And guess what? Well, I'm sure you could guess. It's back. It's back on Kickstarter. So if you go on over to unicornvampirehunter.com, and you're going to want to back this book, people, whether you have kids or not. It's just a fun story. And, you know, I normally would have Caleb on to talk about it, but you know, scheduling stuff happened, and I wasn't gonna not have this book be spouted about from the rooftops. So, metaphorically speaking, of course. So head on over to unicornvampirehunter.com and find out what it's all about, man. It's all in the title. It's a thing of beauty, and it's one of those books that I can't not recommend, and especially if you've got youngsters. Mine, she's addicted. So once again, head on over to unicornvampirehunter.com and get you some of this Caleb Palmquist goodness.
Hello, come and listen to Grand Rapidians play video games.
My name is Willie. I'm the original Cooking Mama World Champion, and even though I've had close to 5,000 different brews, I always keep hams in the fridge.
I'm Ginger. I'm the inaugural Tetris DS World Record Setter, and you can usually hear me eye roll at Willie's introductions.
Every week, we review a beverage, we talk about a game we've played, we recommend something like a podcast, and we assign points for real-life experience.
Come and listen to Grand Rapidians play video games.
Found wherever you listen to quality podcasts.
Well, there you have it, people. Another creator has been cornered. Episode 365 in the books. This is a fun one, man. You know, it's a good book. At least I think it's a good book when I could talk an entire hour on that issue. That's it. It was just there's just so much to love about this. If you're not a Monster Matador fan and you haven't given it a shot yet, then be prepared, people. You will fall in love. This will be a Kickstarter campaign that you will forever back, because you can't help but be loyal to it. It's mesmerizing. It's hypnotizing. It should almost be illegal. It's not. I don't want it to be illegal. But, it's kind of... It's like that, people. It's addicting. So get you some Monster Matador, Afropocalypse, and just follow everything that Steven Prince does. The dude is a beast in the industry, and just amazing things. So there you have it. As always, remember, head on over to cheerstocomics.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things Cheers to Comics content, whether you want a little bloggy blog every once in a while. Maybe there's a YouTube video that's right there for you to check out. You know, all of the episodes as they go up, as they debut, if you will, it's all right there on cheerstocomics.com. It's easy to remember. And if you click on the store button, it'll take you over to shopcheerstocomics.com. Congratulations to me. Thank you. Cheers to Comics is now a retailer as well. So if you're looking for another place to buy comic books, and I'm not opening up a place to sell, you know, t-shirts and slippers and mugs and stuff like that. No. Comic books people, comic book retailer, not a merchandiser, a retailer. And you get you some people, hot key books up there that I see on eBay. People want. People buy them, and pretty fairly priced too, and even more fairly priced too if you use code CHEERS at check, or I'm sorry, podcast at checkout. Getting me and nerds forever mixed up. Use code podcast at checkout and save yourself 10%. And yeah, it's a lovely thing. It's a lovely thing. All right, well, I'll leave you alone now. I will talk to you the next time there are things about comics to talk about, though. You can count on that. In the meantime, I command that you stay safe and read responsibly. Cheers, you fuckers.
Hi, you're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
Hey everyone, I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics podcast with Brian Wayne.
This is Drew Zucker. You're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
This is Mark Russell, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics podcast.
Podcast recommendations, you ask? Brian Wayne here, co-curator of The Apocalypse. And I know that sounds gnarly. That's because it is gnarly, man. The Apocalypse. What is The Apocalypse? The Apocalypse is a culmination of the gnarliest podcast, independent podcast, the internet has to offer. So instead of trying to go to Twitter the next time you need a new podcast to listen to and try to get Twitter famous, podcast recommendations, please. Just think The Apocalypse, man. And it's ironic because The Apocalypse is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Just go to podchaser.com. It's in the top list. The top list in the whole world. So whether you're looking for true crime, sports, role-playing, I don't know, anything. Think of a podcast. It's on the Apocalypse. It's like the apocalypse with a D. And do not forget to follow The Apocalypse on Twitter as well. Once again, that is The Apocalypse. If you're looking for a podcast recommendation, The Apocalypse is sure to have something for you.